The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Oisín Coughlan is with me in studio. He is CEO of Friends of the Earth Ireland, as is Kevin Byrne, who is a retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. You're both very welcome.
Thanks, Kieran.
To the show, and thanks a million for coming in to us. Oisín, should we rid the skies of private jets?
Well, I certainly think they're something of a scourge. And they're, when you look at the numbers, it's just so clear they are the epitome, the worst example of the inequality there is around pollution and around lifestyle. So when it comes to like fairness with regard to how we tackle climate change, it's really hard to see how we ask all of society to do inconvenient things. Hopefully in the end, they'll be better, you know, when we have better public transport and warmer homes. But there's inconvenience involved in the transition to a pollution-free future. And while we're asking society to do this journey together, on the other hand, there's these really tiny elite minority, like the 1% of the 1%, who are taking to the skies for the ultimate convenience. The example that sparked this discussion is the Starbucks CEO, who's, in order to abide by the hybrid working rules and spend 3 days in the office, he's been given the private Starbucks jet to go 1,000 miles from Southern California to Seattle. And it's just bonkers. And the numbers, like, you know, it's 10 times worse, at least 10 times worse than going in an ordinary passenger jet. And it's such a small minority of people. Like, already aviation, like 1% of the world's population is responsible for 50% of all aviation emissions. So like we think when we talk about regulating aviation, it should be on those frequent flyers and business flyers. And on top of all of that is the private jet people.
But before I bring in Kevin, is the argument more what it's kind of, it symbolises or what it means to people rather than the impact? As in, all right, I accept the reality, as you say, that kind of per head of population or per flight, it's much more damaging from an environmental point of view and a carbon emission point of view compared to kind of big air transport or passenger planes, rather. But then there's so few flying private jets. Like, overall, it's probably not the thing that's destroying the environment. Is it more the other point you make, that it kind of sticks in our craw?
One is there is the kind of the optics and the ability to get buy-in from everybody if this is going on. So, a columnist in The Guardian today called Arwa Madawi called it contemptuous consumption, not just conspicuous consumption. But on the other hand, it's really growing. Like, 1 in 10 flights now leaving UK airports is on a private jet. And in Ireland, the number of private jet flights went from 858 in 2020 to 6,671 in 2022. So 8 times in just 2 years. And inside the European Union as a whole, the amount of emissions from private aviation doubled in that same year. So it's becoming a real thing. And if that's running away, if we're not controlling that, how can we ask the rest of the population to regulate their own consumption and their own emissions?
Kevin, should we see to control it?
Not sure. I suspect it's going to happen anyway. But I know, I appreciate the jealousy involved. I was in a traffic jam in Dundrum on Saturday last in my old 17-year-old diesel engine car, and a guy went by in a Bentley coupe, which I knew costed at least 250,000. And yes, I felt this minority, he's paying through the nose for it in tax and in emissions and in fuel, I suppose, like that. But there's always going to be a tiny percentage of people who's going to put it out to us that we're here and we're there. But I would ask you to think about aviation in general. 2.5% of the pollution of the world is caused by aviation. As I said on this station and elsewhere before, if we grounded every commercial aircraft now, tonight, tomorrow, you know, we'd save 2.5%. And of that 2.5%, a tiny, tiny percentage is caused by the private jets. Now, I'd separate the private jets for personal use, as is done in the Starbucks guy, and or business use. Many years ago, when I was in the Air Corps, we had a new government jet called the Gulfstream IV. It's since been scrapped, I think, or sold off. We parked it beside Brussels. I had the privilege of going on a training flight to Brussels, and beside it were two brand new ones, G4s as well, IBM and McDonald's. We went into the crew and said, what do you fly this aircraft for? And the McDonald's guy said, we're going to Milwaukee with executives to make decisions about business. And based on that business, we might have another 400 or 500 jobs in a particular state or county like that. So the business involved is quite good from that point of view. The other point I need to make is that we're hugely moving in the aviation business, both in airports and in commercial flights, out of making pollution as best we can by putting in CO2 emission reductions in terms of electric. We're designing new aircraft that, first of all, will run on sustainable aviation fuels. They're coming now. They've crossed the Atlantic already twice with different aircraft types. The Americans want to have 3 billion gallons of that stuff by 2030. And by 2050, they want it to be 100%. So even the Americans, where the price of fuel is cheap, I bought petrol for a car there before Christmas, it was $1.80 a gallon, which is ludicrously low. So they got to be pushed hard into that. Mm. So I would, yes, there's going to be a tiny percentage, but it's going to solve itself in time.
Oisin, kind of three broad points there, I think, kind of in terms of the big sinners in the room from an emissions point of view, aviation is nowhere near the top, that not all private jets are private, trips and private jets are necessarily bad, that sometimes they're necessary and there's kind of very positive business spin-offs in terms of jobs created, and the entire industry is getting cleaner.
So if aviation was a country, you can argue about the exact percentage because it depends much. But if aviation is a country, it's in the top 10 countries in the world. So, you know, it's not nothing. We have to tackle it like we have to tackle every sector. And it's actually more about the direction of travel. It can't continue to grow at the way it's growing if we're going to contain pollution overall and eliminate pollution. And I would love to think...
The fact that it's in the top 10 countries in the world, that's less a reflection of how big a polluter aviation is, and rather it's a reflection of how a small handful of countries are massive polluters, isn't it?
Well, no, the fact that aviation, if you combine all pollution from aviation, it's the equivalent of one of the top 10 countries in the world. So that means it's quite, you say top 10 countries are very polluting.
Yeah, but put it this way, if one country in the world was responsible for 99% of all global emissions, then aviation would be the second biggest.
No, but like China and the US are very big, but all the European countries.
It's a kind of interpretation of data. It's equally reflective of the scale of pollution that's carried out by just a handful of countries. Well, that aviation is in the top 10, but only 2.5%
in the world. So a sector, and if each one was equal, it'd be half a percentage point. And aviation is between 2.5 and 4.5, depending on how you measure it. It's not a negligible amount. We have to look at. It's not as big as other sectors, but it's not as big as livestock, for example. But we have to deal with it, like we have to deal with every sector. And we can't put our eggs all in the technology basket. Sustainable aviation fuel is not widely available right now. It's very expensive and it may involve too much land. So there's no guarantee that it will provide everything we need. And until it does, we have to regulate.
Because it's crop based.
Some of it is, yes. Now, if we get to some other solution, that would be great. But in the meantime, what matters most is fairness. And if we're trying to get everyone to move, it needs to be seen to be fair. And we can't therefore have some sectors, particularly if you're rich, just escaping entirely and others being asked, you know, to have inconvenience with regard to losing their parking spaces or having to switch from you know, cars to buses or whatever. It needs to impact everybody fairly. We saw that in COVID when restrictions were universal and were seen to serve a purpose, they were much more broadly accepted. And just one thing about who's on the flights. I think if you put it to a vote, people might vote for Taylor Swift being allowed to go more than the executives. But leaving that to one side, the most common private jet route out of Ireland is Dublin to London. Now, that's one of the best served aviation routes in the world, if not the best served.
Although
Aer
Lingus has just pulled two flights, per day with effect from next month.
It's 219 flights in a year out of all the ones that were there. There were Dublin to London. It was the most common route. So if you can't get from Dublin to London on some other first class or business class or whatever you need, I don't see I think it's self-regard and indulgence on the part of most who take it rather than desperate need to be there quicker or to be there on your own.
Yeah, Kevin, those jobs that were going to be created in kind of Milwaukee in the example you give, they might have been created anyway had those executives just flown business class on
Virgin
Atlantic.
Maybe so, but you see, the business benefits are, of course, access to more destinations. They get to airports that are not served maybe by commercial aircraft at the moment. They apparently have increased en route productivity. That means they can work, and I've seen that done. I've seen ministers on flights, you know, going between here and Brussels and places like that. And that was good when they had a jet that will do that. And they've got, of course, privacy, safety and security. Security can be important for high worth individuals.
That matters more for politicians than it does for pretty anonymous,
possibly, yes,
middle managers.
Just a small point about the aircraft types I'm talking about like that. The smaller jets that we have will go on the aviation fuel, whether we like it or not. It'll be 10% of the pollution they have now. That's going to happen in the next 6, 7, 8 years. Already they're flying aircraft with the new jets, the new jet engines that work like that. But they will have the electric aircraft that will come out will start with the smaller types initially. And we do want electric aircraft because it's sustainable and refuel. renewable, then we'll have carbon a big reduction by using hydrogen, and that will start with smaller aircraft. You will not be crossing the Atlantic or going to Dubai on an electric aircraft anytime soon, not in my lifetime anyway, but you might have other alternatives. They start off with 10-seaters and 12-seaters, and then they move on to the airliners. That's always been
sure,
the
way. Sure, but the 10-seaters could be moving people around, you know, 10 people around a small country that need, rather than executives. We need to be focusing the solutions in a way that makes everybody feel that this is for them, rather than solving, you know, first world problems.
But the high-worth individuals will pay for the excess cost of the new jets, is the point I want to make in that regard. Also, if you break your leg in Switzerland and the medical evacuation takes you home, you need a small jet. Well, that's another evacuation.
That might be a fair use of it. If anyone who breaks a leg gets access to medicine, treatment.
A small jet will get them home.
I don't think you're talking about kind of scrapping them all or getting rid of them, that they would still exist in those circumstances. But Kevin, and I appreciate this kind of brings us out of the realm of aviation to a degree, but what do you say to Oisin's point that that there is a degree of inconvenience being foisted on people during this period of transition?
Indeed.
And that, you know, stories like this, or what was it after the Super Bowl? Was it something like kind of several hundred jets kind of all took off, private jets from this airport outside?
I appreciate that.
At the Super Bowl venue, that it kind of sticks in people's craw.
And it makes them
less likely then to sign up to the measures necessary.
If you banned it all, though, I'd love to know what percentage of the pollution that aviation costs you would actually save. I think we're hitting this small little nail with the big hammer and just making it more by appearance than actually reality. Because if, as I said, they're going to get out of this system, they're going to be flying more cleaner aircraft.